103. Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Nagatik. Stay tuned and focused, and let Words of Life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Thank you, Lord, that you've given us breath, life, health, strength. Thank you, Lord God, that you've given us another opportunity and chance to worship you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let your glory fill this place. Let your all-consuming fire fill the tabernacle and purify our hearts. Father, we thank you right now. Surround us in this place. Breathe new life within us. Send a refreshing God and saturate our hearts. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord God. We praise your holy name, Father. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. I worship you, Almighty God. There's none like you. None like you, Jesus. None like you, Jesus. None like you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, while we worshiping, God is healing. God is healing. Somebody on the left side of your back, you've been having a pain. And I declare today the healing power of God as you worship. Hallelujah. Someone else, you've been having a little problem with your hip, getting this catch in your hip. And I declare right now in the name of Jesus that you be touched and healed. Father, we thank you right now. Father, we thank you right now. Hallelujah. We give ourselves to you so you can use us in this service. Use us in this service to do what you want to do, Father. Right now in Jesus' holy name, we thank you, God. We thank you, God. We thank you for the anointing to heal, the anointing to deliver, the anointing to set free. We give you praise right now, Lord. We magnify. Father, touch us, oh God. Touch the respiratory system that many of us have struggled with on this week. Father, touch us, our immune systems, that we will be built up to a point that we are healed. Oh, most holy Father, we thank you now. We thank you, God. We thank you, Father, for touching us and for healing us and helping us when we could not help ourselves. We give you glory. We magnify you, God. Oh, how excellent is your name in all the earth. We worship you right where we are. We thank you. We're here to worship you. We're here to lift you up and to love on you, God. There is none like you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just fill me, O Lord. Fill me, O God. Help me, Lord God, to press through this flesh and the demands of the flesh. Sometimes the demands of the flesh are greater than what we can overcome. But today I want you to press your way. I want you to say, Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you to use me. I need you to touch me. I need you to help me. I need you to lift me. I need you to stir me. I need you to change me. I need you to help me to do some things. I can't do this alone. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. Anybody need him? I need him every hour. I need him right now. I need you. Come on, tell him, I need you, Lord. I really need you. I need your help. I need you to help me to be able to love people that don't like me. Father, I need you. I need you to help me to forgive those who've done me wrong. I need you. I need you to help me to be able to turn the other cheek. I need to be more like you. I want to be more like you. I want them to see you and not me, because if I give them me, then it's trouble. But if I give them you, then it's love, it's Christ, it's anointed. I thank you, God. I need you, Lord, to be able to face the difficulties that I have in my life. I need you. I need you because I can't do it alone, but I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I need you. I need you, Lord. I complain too much on my own, but Lord, I learned how to claim in the spirit, and I learned how to proclaim, Lord. I thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If I get in my flesh, I nitpick and I find everything wrong with everything. But when I close my eyes and to all the stuff around me and I look at you and I lift my head to the hills from whence coming my help, knowing my help come from you, Lord, everything is all right. I can overcome any sickness, any disease, any problem, any pain, because I'm more than a conqueror because you love me. Great is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I thank you. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that you touch every heart, soul, mind, and spirit in this place. And Father, I pray that you drive out that which is not of you by your anointing. And Father, that you'll grow that which is of you, Lord. Father, that you would just touch us, God. Father, touch young and old. And Father, stir us to be able to be strong in the Lord and in the power of your might. Father, right now in Jesus' name, Father, let this be a solemn moment, a moment, Lord, that we remember this Palm Sunday, that we commemorate the day that Jesus went into Jerusalem to prepare himself for his death. Father, we thank you right now for the death, the burial, and the resurrection, and the coming again of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus that was shed for us. We thank you. And Lord, we pray, God, that you give me clarity of thought and precision of speech. Lord, let the power of your anointing be felt through the words that we've spoken on today. The anointing to convict and to change. The anointing to encourage and build. Father, we thank you right now. We glorify you, Lord. We magnify and praise your name, Lord. Father, and after you've done exactly what you want to do in this service, to whoever it is that will yield themselves to you, Lord God, we'll be careful to give you glory and praise and honor you, magnifying your holy name, the name of Jesus. Lord God, we'll join with the many-winged seraphim and the many-eyed cherubim that chant and declare one to another that you're holy, that you're holy, God. You're holy, God, and your glory fills the earth. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I want to continue part two of a series that God has placed in my heart, a religious reset, because we need to be reset. Because we've gotten away from what true religion is. Again, the Bible says true religion is to care for the widow, the orphan, and to help the poor, to do for those others, to love your neighbor as yourself. That's real stuff. Amen. But we've gotten away from that. And so we need to have a reset, just like we would our computers, just like we would our phones. We need to reset so it can function what? Properly. Amen. Amen. So for our relationship to function properly with God, we have to reset ourselves. Amen. Amen. And I want to use for part two the subject or the subtitle of this series, Fire Insurance is Not Enough. Amen. Fire insurance. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, fire insurance is not enough. Natural man can't understand the things of God. He said that the carnal mind, I wish I had somebody, that you can't, the carnal mind is enmity against God. And so if I think carnal and if I walk in the natural, I can't receive what God has for me. That's why when we preach, they say, I can't see that preacher. That's why when I say you must be born again, I don't see how that's going to happen. That's why when I tell those younger preachers, those other preachers, that there must be a conversion, they turn around and say, nah, I don't know about conversion. We need to do something else because God ain't gonna send everybody to hell. God doesn't send you to hell, you send yourself. You decide to make your choice. God said here's two things. You got heaven or your eternity in heaven or eternity in hell. You make the choice. Which one do you want? And I decided a long time ago that I'm ready to burn because I don't like the sun. I don't even care for the beach. I wish I had somebody. So I don't want to burn. I need to go to heaven where there'll be peace and joy and there's a tree for the healing of the land, all this good stuff that they'll be singing. I love to sing even if I can't. I still love to sing and I'll be able to praise God all the day long where there'll be no dying and no crying, where there won't be nobody giving you bad news to tell other folks. There won't be no gossip. There won't be no lying. I wish I had a few people in here that realize that if we choose that, it's so much better than it's a whole lot of stuff you can get in heaven. But what do you get when you go to hell? You get burning. You get weeping. You get gnashing of teeth where the worm don't die. you're forever in pain and agony. In other words, your soul is in agony. That means your mind, your will, your emotion, you start to feel all that. That's why the man cried out to Abraham, and he said, Abraham, let Lazarus, who's in your bosom, go and tell my brothers they don't want to come here. We need to understand that there's a message from hell, and that message is you don't want to go there. Do I have anybody in the house? Come on, tell your neighbor, neighbor, here's a message from hell. You don't want to go there. So choose heaven. Fire insurance is not enough. We can't just come in here and patty cake and play. We can't just slide on the pew and don't go out and live nothing. Oh, I wish I had somebody. We can't come in here and sing until heaven come down and walk out here and raise hell. Preach anyway. That's all right. He said, Jesus now tells him, he said that in verse 5, he said, if you don't be born of water and of spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus said, not only will you not be able to see it, but if you can't see it, you can't go to it either. And so if you can't see it, you can't go into it. Amen. And so I must first start to see what God is doing and see what God is saying and understand the things of God in order for me to get into the place where God is. A lot of times we don't understand that. We think that, you know, we can remain, we can do what we want to do. I'm going to tell you, I had a preacher tell me, he says, and we were debating eternal security, and he said that no matter what, that once saved, always saved. And I told him that may be true, but it's true for the believer, not the make-believer. Preach. In other words, the make-believer is the one that want to make you believe that he's saved, make you believe that he's right, make you believe that he's real, make you believe that he know God when he really don't. He know, just like the devil knows, he knows about God and he knows God's word, but he don't know God, because you don't see no fruit. You judge a tree by the what fruit it bear. I wish I had some people here. And you know, people would choose better pastors if they knew the fruit. Lord have mercy. Let me leave that alone. Let me leave that alone. So he says that you can't even enter into the kingdom. And when we start talking about that, and me and this preacher, we was talking about it, he had two other preachers that amened him. And I said, well, what about in Revelation where it said that if you endure, that your name won't be blotted out of the book? And I said, what about that? No, that don't mean that. And he just going, you know, he's trying to give me an explanation. And I said, okay, you can believe that. I said, so you believe that whatever you're doing, when you're doing it, if it's wrong or right, when Jesus come, you're going, I don't care what I'm doing. I can be doing wrong, and Jesus just going to take me up whenever he come. If I'm doing wrong, why he come? I said, well, what about the scripture that says, he that is unholy, let him still be unholy. He that is unjust, let him still be unjust. That means you just going to miss him. That's what that means. No, that ain't what that means. And so we got into this debate, and I just want you to know, this is what's being taught around, all over the place, because nobody wants to teach what God said, and that's why we need a religious reset. I go to seminary, I teach at a seminary, but I'm going to teach you what thus say the Lord. And I even tell my students that I don't always agree with everything that somebody put in a book. Preach. I agree with what God put in his book. Oh Lord, have mercy in here. We got to know when to eat the fish and throw the bones away. And I'm just trying to help you to understand that fire insurance is not enough. We can't just patty cake with God one day and play basketball with the devil the next day. We can't one day be hollering about, Lord, save me, and then the next day we don't care about salvation. We do whatever we want to do. We can't say, Lord, let your kingdom come and your will be done. Get up off our knees and do what we want to do. I wish I had a few people in here. He said you can't even enter into the kingdom of God. You can't even go in there. You might come to the door, but that's about it. And that's a shame if you get to the door. You know how embarrassing that is? You ever been somewhere and you thought that you can get in, you know, I can get in. And you get to the door and they say, oh, we ain't taking no more. Your name ain't on the list. That's embarrassing. But you ain't got to worry about embarrassment, because that's, you know, they always say St. Peter going to be at the gate, and I don't know how true that is, but they always say that he got a button he can mash, and it's just going to open up, and they're going to go to hell. I don't know how that's going to work, but I ain't worried about it, because I ain't going to be one of them. So I'm not looking to explain that one. Amen? Let's go on, because I'm already too long and I got to get finished. He says in verse 6, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is what? Spirit. We need to know that there's some things that are born out of flesh. Even our thoughts are born out of flesh. Preaching here. We got to know that some things are born out of flesh. And if it's born out of flesh, then that means it's not fit for God's. It's not fit for God's kingdom. It's not fit for the work of the ministry if it's born out of flesh. And too many times we want to defend that which is flesh. And we want to defend, you know, and it's some things that we say that sound good from the pulpit, but it's all flesh. You know, I was listening to somebody preach one day, and there's a bunch of them I heard say this, that, oh, yeah, you hit me. And I know the Bible says turn the other cheek, but I'm subject to come around with a roundhouse, and I turn it all right. Now is that's of the flesh. And so while I'm doing spiritual work, I shouldn't even be saying that. Lord, help me today. All right, okay. All right. Y'all, I know some of y'all feel that way too, but that's all right. He said, that which is born of spirit is what? Spirit. The problem is we don't know how to shut up the flesh incubator and allow the spirit to incubate good things from God. We don't know how to connect with the spirit in ourselves so that we will be able to speak spiritual things and think on a spiritual level. Lord, help me, Holy Ghost. We must speak on a spiritual level. We must live on a spiritual level. The reason why we struggle as Christians in our flesh is because we're not walking in the spirit. He said that if we walk in the spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the what? Flesh. Amen here. Amen. I know somebody's aggravated already, but that's all right. You just got to listen to this message or leave one of the two. Amen. It's aggravating your flesh, and that's the devil. We need to know that. Amen. Verse 7 says, don't marvel on because I said that you must be born again. Don't get all bent out of shape because you don't understand it. You don't get bent out of shape because we get focused on one word or one thing instead of being focused on the substance of what God is trying to do and say in our life. We get focused on 1 minute of trouble rather than remembering that he gives us peace in this lifetime. I wish I had somebody. We get focused on what's happening right in front of us right now rather than what he's brought us from and where he's taken us to. Do you know if God revealed to you what's going to happen, and say, for instance, he give you a dream and he said he show you on top of the world just doing your thing, and you saying, I know God gave me a vision. I know things are going to work. He didn't tell you everything in between from where you are and where you're going. So you focus on the little things that are happening right there where you are, and you start giving up. You start doubting and saying, I don't think I'm going to make it. I don't know what to do. Yes, you know what to do. Do what you've been doing. Keep on praying. Keep on pressing, because if God said it, he's going to make sure it happens. And so if God said it, he's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. You need to hold on to your faith and believe in the face of adversity that the things that God intended for you are going to work out, that it's working for my good, that no weapon formed against me will prosper. You need to begin to remember those things. You need to begin to remember that God said that he'll rain on me, that he'll bless me, that my children, he said, David said, I've been young and I've been old, but never have I seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. I don't know how this is going to work, but yeah, things ain't looking good, but I know God will work it out, because if God be for us, then who can be against us? Do I have anybody in the house that said that God is with me? And since God is with me, everything is going to be all right. I may not look like it right now, but you're looking at $1 million. You're looking at somebody who's going to walk in the path of righteousness. You're looking at somebody. You may not see it now, but I'm somebody that got a whole bunch of miracles up in me that God's ready to do. And I wish I had some people that had some faith that say, I'm going to pull that miracle out of him. I wish I had a few people in here. God sent me here as a gift. I believe that. And the only reason I'm here is to do a work. When the work is done, it ain't no need for me to be here. So I'm just going to keep doing the work until God say. I wish I had a few people that believe just like me that I got to get somebody to get in this kingdom. Jesus said, but let me tell you something. The wind blow where it will. We don't know where the wind blow and come from. But just like that, he said, everyone that is born of spirit, we don't know how it works. You can't see the wind, but you can sure know that the wind. You walk outside, go see how the wind is. We at work, we have wind socks on poles, so we'll know which way the wind blow. So just in case there's an emergency, we know how to go and be upwind and not downwind, right? And so you got to know that I can't really see the wind, but I put something up there to see the effects gusts of the wind. And just like this, we don't know who the Spirit of God is going to move on, but you see the effects of the Spirit of God in your life. I don't know when God came in my, we can all declare and say, you know, I know the day I got saved, but you know what? God had already dealt with you for that day. Do you know that? And so I can't tell you when, and that's why when people say, when did you realize that you were going to be a preacher? I say, I always knew. I tried to talk God out of it. I said, God, let's make a deal. God, if you just let me do a little bit of this and have fun like some other folks until I get about 40, then I'll go in and I'll be a deacon. God said, that ain't what I told you. You're already late. Get to move. I wish I had somebody in here. We need to know that God is always at work, and he's at work before we know it. That's why he told Jeremiah. He said, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. I knew that you'd be a prophet to the nations. I called you. Do I have any witnesses? Do you know that before you were born, God had a plan for you? We don't have an unprepared God. We sometimes get unprepared, but guess what? He is a prepared God, and he prepares his people for whatever it is to come. Do I have any witnesses in here? So when we look at the imperatives of salvation, we must be born again, or we can't even see God's work. Or we must be born again, or we can't even enter in the works that God are doing in our life. And so he said that you don't know where the wind go. You don't know where the wind blow. The wind is everywhere. But when I look around, I can see the trees moving because of the wind. I can see trash blowing because of the wind. Do I have any witnesses? Do you know that God will move on you the same way the wind move on the trees? You are no match for the wind. We can build structures, and we can build buildings and roofs and everything else and think that it's going to uphold wind damage and stuff. Oh, no, when that storm comes and you say, man, it used to be a house here, and what was it? It was a wind, a tornadic wind, a hurricane wind. And when those winds blow, then nothing that man build can uphold, nothing that man build can withstand. Do you know that nothing you put up in your life can withstand the power of God? Nothing in your life. I wish I had somebody in here. You can't withstand what God is trying to do. I know somebody said, well, I'm just running from the law. I'm running from my car. No, you had an opportunity to run. No, you didn't. You just thought you were running. God was preparing you. God was whipping you a little bit. He was letting you see what it feel like without him. He was letting you see what it feel like if you get too far away from him. You didn't run. If you really couldn't run, do you know God is too high that you can't get over? He's too low that you can't get under, too wide that you can't get around him? You must come in at the door. You must enter in through Jesus Christ. Do I have a witness here? You can't run from God. Stop telling people, I'm running from my call. You ain't running from it. You find yourself thinking you're running from it. You're running right too. I wish I had some. Come here, Jonah. The Bible said Jonah was in the belly of a whale, and the Bible said that he said, I'd rather die than testify to the Assyrians and tell them, prophesy and tell them that God is going to deliver them if they repent. I don't want to do that. He said, throw me into the lake, or throw me into the sea. And he thought he was running from his call, but little did he know that God prepared a great fish. And somebody said he was a whale. Well, I don't care what he was, but he was a whale of a fish. Amen. God prepared a great fish that swallowed him up. And from there, Jonah began to pray to the Lord. Do you know that you might be in your fish? You might be in the belly of your whale. And from there, you don't want to pray. Notice this. Jonah didn't pray while he was on the boat. He waited till he got in the fish. And some of us, we've been on the boat and we've been having some trouble. And people been around us and they got trouble because they trying to help us out of trouble. But somebody need to say, throw Jonah overboard. I wish I had somebody. Tell your neighbor, I don't know if you Jonah, but I'm getting ready to throw you over. Somebody need to go ahead and throw him overboard. And so when he got there in the fish, he began to pray. But the Bible said that in about 3 days that he regurgitated Jonah. And Jonah was 3 days journey from where he was supposed to be. So Jonah tried to take him a month's trip away from God, only to find himself 6 days from God. I wish I had somebody. I'm going to leave that alone. Let's get back to the text. And so he says that Nicodemus, he says that we don't know. We don't know where it is. And Jesus said, you supposed to be a master in Israel, and you don't know even the simplest things. And you know, sometimes the Bible said that God will take the simplest things to confound the wise. He will. He will take something simple and confound the wise. So you tell all those woke folks something simple, that God changed me. I ain't got to explain how he did it, but he did it. Because if he didn't do it, I'd be just like you. He said, Nicodemus, he tells him, he said that you're supposed to be a master. But in verse 11, he said, verily I say unto you, if we speak that which we know not and we testify, we speak unto you which we do know and we testify of what we've seen, but you haven't received our witness. Since you don't know, I'm trying to tell you and you still don't believe me. Isn't that how people are today? They try to tell you about something they don't know nothing about. I marvel at some people who try to tell me about how God operate, and they ain't walked a minute in God. They I'm telling you, they try to tell me how I ought to pray, how I ought to believe, what I ought to preach. I had a guy tell me, let me tell you what the next message ought to be. I'm like, how you going to tell me when the Holy Spirit's telling me? The Holy Ghost tell me what to preach. How you going to tell me I need to preach on? Y'all need to preach on this. Well, why don't you preach? Why are you don't need a pulpit. Go under the tree. Oh, Lord, have mercy in here. Since your message is so powerful that it'll save the world, go start under the tree. Okay, I'm gonna get through here. He says that we testify of what we've seen. I'm telling you what I know God can do. I'm telling you, I've seen the miracles. And I don't know about you, but I've seen miracles in my time. I've seen God heal people. I've seen God open blinded eyes. I've seen God raise people up from a grave sickness. I've seen God heal hearts that the doctor said had holes in it. I've seen God do so many things that I just, when I think about what God has done, I don't think that anything is impossible to him. I believe that all things are possible if we can just believe him. Do I have anybody that say I'm believing God? I just need to believe him. And he said, I'm trying to tell you what I've seen, what we've seen. And he said, but if I told you earthly things and you believe not, why in the world can I tell you something about God and you ain't gonna believe that either? If I just tell you stuff that's simple and you can't believe the simplest thing, they argue with, I had a friend of mine tell me how he was in an argument, and I said, I had the same argument about 20 some odd years ago. He said somebody told him, how you know the sky blue? Somebody told you, they wrote that down. People just argue about stupid stuff. I told the guy, I said, the sky is not actually blue, it's black. And blue makes the color because of the chemical makeup. And he said, oh, see, there you go with that other stuff. Sometimes people just need to just stop. Stop and go to the simplest thing. He says, so look at this. He says that, and if no man hath ascended to heaven, he that come down from heaven, even so the Son of Man which is in heaven. Look at this. He said, look, I'm trying to tell you, if no man has been to heaven to tell you these things, look, you need to believe at least somebody who's come from there. It's Son of Man who come down from heaven. Jesus is the one. If we don't believe nobody else, now how can your friends, how can your co-workers, how can your homeboys tell you about God and they've never been where God is? Preach. How can they tell you if they've never been there? And Jesus is saying that if nobody else been there, you got to take my word. I wish I had somebody in here. If I can't take nobody else's word, I'm going to take the word of somebody who's been there. If I tell you that I've been to the Sea of Galilee, I've been there. If you ain't been there, you can't tell me how it look. You can't tell me what the mountains look like. You can't tell me what the water is. You can't tell me what color it is because you ain't never been there. I'm telling somebody about the Dead Sea. Oh, yeah, I heard about the Dead Sea. It's salty, ain't it? I say, yeah, but do you know that nothing lives in the Dead Sea? Do you know that you can't drown in the Dead Sea because it won't let you fall? It won't let you sink down. It'll push you right back up. You can sit up there, open up your newspaper and read it and lay back in the Dead Sea. Oh, I didn't know that, so I'm telling you because I've been there. Come on and say, man. So since you haven't been there, listen to me for a minute and let me tell you. That's what Jesus is saying. Since we haven't been there, why don't we listen to what Jesus has said? And so all I have to go on is what's written in red in my Bible sometime. I need to go on what Jesus has said. So here it is. I'm trying to tell you, forget all the progressive theology that you've been taught. Forget all the mess that people bring up, the stuff that they made up, the new way, the new Christianity, the new walk, the new talk, the new way of preaching. Forget that and just know Jesus. I don't want to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. You know what? If I don't have to tell you about how to get a car, because if you need a car to get to church, God will provide. Do I have a witness? I don't need to tell you how to get a husband because the Bible said that he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. I'm telling you, just be a wife and wait. God will have somebody find you where you are. Come on and say amen in here. I don't have to tell you how to get you a new house, because the Bible said he'll give you houses that you didn't build. Preach up in here, somebody. He'll give you what you need. Paul said, my God will supply all your need. Now, what I need you to do is first be born again. He's not telling that to everybody, but he's telling that to an exclusive group that believes in him, a group that trusts in him. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 and 6 that we can't please God except we have what? Faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And since I told you that Nicodemus came with a secret inquiry, and that there's